regrettable that had to arrive here so quick. There were internal issues that were discussed yesterday. We might be able to do quick fix. And we'd like to appeal to all our supporters to stay calm.
What tools are you giving to the so-called technicians that you employ to accomplish whatever you're looking at? Blame game, I don't think it's needed in football. And then I take the blame for everything.
Sokala Duma Radio.
Good day and welcome to the big interview. I'm your host, Slu Paho. What a week it's been already. Three PSL coaches out the door in the space of 2 days. Sokala Duma Radio gets the inside scoop on what happened to former AmaZulu coach Kevin Johnson. And we also hear from Black Leopards spokesperson Berry Ramunenyiwa, who details what transpired with the dismissal of Lionel Sequoia and his technical staff. You can also pick up a copy of the Sokala Duma newspaper to catch the revolving column in which Clinton Larson details his departure from Chippa United. 5 matches in and there's already drama in the APSA Premiership. Stay tuned to the big interview. First up, let's get the inside scoop on what's happening at Black Leopards. I'm happy to be joined on the line by Black Leopards spokesperson Berry Ramunenyiwa. Berry, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good morning to you and your listeners.
Now, Black Leopards managed to avoid relegation last season, finishing 3 points clear. But this year, after 5 games, you're still in 12th. So I have to ask, why are we seeing the whole technical staff being let go? Were there internal issues for Black Leopards?
Yes, there were internal issues that were discussed yesterday. As we said, Black Leopards is quite a big team, and we cannot afford to have it languishing right at the bottom of the log. The discussion were of a nature of looking at our progress this season. The one good thing that came out of an amicable discussion, a friendly one, was that the current technical team, mainly the manager, the team manager, Mr. Professor Ngubane, the coach, Lionel Sequoia, and the assistant coach Patrick Mabedi agreed to step down for in the interest of the team, because we could actually looking at the fact that it didn't seem like we are going to be able to get the results that our fans are expecting sooner, and which is actually causing a lot of agony for our supporters and so forth. And we appreciate the fact that the trio, in the interest of the team, decided and agreed with the team that we part ways at this moment.
I see. Now, I know the news only came out yesterday, but are there steps being taken to ensure that the players and other staff maintain the same mentality towards success moving forward?
Yes, at the moment we'll have Morgan Chibambu to be the caretaker coach. He'll be assisted by Samuel Banda until such time that the board will take a decision as to what type of coach and who might be able to do, you know, a quick fix and get quick results and stay there, the performance of the team to be where everyone expects it to be. Because we do not want to see the team at the position that it was and struggling like it did last year. We took too long to remedy this situation in the previous years, and which actually led to us staying in an NFD for much longer, which took us about 4 years to 5 years. And now when we're looking at the position that we're at in the previous year, we do not want the team to see the team staying there. And that is why all the parties agreed that, look, in the interest of this team, because they also love the team so much, let's do what is best for the team, not for individuals.
I see. Now, this weekend you play the new boys, Stellenbosch FC. They've also had some struggles. They haven't managed to win a match yet. Do you think that Morgan Chibambu will have enough time this week? I know the players have been training. Do you think that it's an opportunity for him to give Black Leopards a victory to start strong in his tenure as coach?
Look, Morgan has been with the team for a very long time. He knows and understands the player. The style of play at Black Leopards, he's been under many coaches who have come and left, and he's been there. So we are sure that he will be able to hold the fort well, without knowing whether the the board will decide to either keep him as a permanent coach or give him an opportunity to be the head coach of the team. We don't know. The board has not set yet. So at the moment, we are confident that he will be able to carry the team whilst the decision is made as to how we move forward from here, because this was not expected. It just happened yesterday.
I see. Now, in light of recent news, I have to ask, is it true what was said about Sequoia in the media in terms of his stubbornness and mentality and lack of drive to attack against certain teams? I think he struggled to form attacks against Baraka FC most recently in my memory. Is it true that he never really gelled with the perspective of Black Leopards in terms of your goals and success?
Look, every coach has got his own style of play. In terms of how Black Leopards used to, the style of play that everyone was used to, we thought he would do the same, and we saw the way the team has been playing. He managed to maintain the team style. He's a professional guy. We are a professional team. And he's a talented person. So we cannot take anything away from him. That is why it was not a decision based on a particular person, but the whole team to say, let's try and assemble another new technical team that might be able to do things differently. It's regrettable that, you know, we had to arrive here so quick, but Black Leopards is really looking at performing at a level that everyone expects from Black Leopards to be right at the top.
I see. So in the off-season, you signed the likes of former Paris defender Matlaba, as well as Ghanaian midfielder Abubakar, in addition to Tuso Pala and Ingele. After these signings, you said that Leopards should be in the top five, I remember. Is that still the mandate and goals that Chivambu should reach, you know, taking over? It's still early in the season, so it's still very much possible. It's been a tight start to the season. Is top five still the target?
Yes, that's where we want to be. That's why we cannot wait too long to make sure that things should be sorted out properly. And we appreciate the fact that everyone understands where the team has to be. And no one was selfish to say, I'll do it for myself, I'll stay, even though I can see that the team is not where it's supposed to be. And we all parted ways in a very amicable way. And the signings are also an indication that that's where the team wants to be. And we will continue to sign reputable and experienced players, because that's what our supporters expect from us, and the whole of the South African football fraternity expect Black Leopards to perform right at the top of the league.
I see. And so speaking of signings, towards the end of August, you signed Dax Andrianarimanana. If I'm saying that surname correctly,
you can try that. I think someday we need to make a competition with people trying to pronounce that surname and the name, and we'll host them at Black Leopards Men.
So Coach Sequoia said that he refused to play against Baroka despite being fit. Is there any update to that news, and will he be involved for the team against Stellenbosch FC?
The coach and the current technical team will decide how to take the games forward, because we don't decide for the coaches. We give them full authority to decide how to approach games, because at the end of the day, when you don't get the results, the coaches will say whatever they say, because you told me this, you told me that. We don't do that at Black Leopards. I think most professional teams don't do that. They allow the coaches and the technical team decide who to field depending on the form and the pattern that they want to play, and who they think will be best for those, you know, to field for those games, and how they want to tactically approach the game.
And so you've said that Morgan will take over the team. You've already secured the services of an assistant coach for the time being as well. Can we expect more additions to the technical staff moving forward, perhaps after the Stellenbosch game?
We hope. We don't know what the board will decide. We'll hear as soon as the board has set and decided on the way forward. We'll come back to you and inform you. You know that we are very open and very transparent when it comes to issues, however difficult they could be. But we do come and put them as they are.
I see. Best of luck for this week and the match against Stellenbosch. Berry, spokesperson for Black Leopards, thank you very much for taking the time to join me on the show.
Thank you very much. And we'd like to appeal to all our supporters nationally to stay calm when we are going through this rough season. We know that we'll go through quickly. Let's rather work on sorting out the issues on the team, the bodies on top of the matters. And we also wish the guys that have been with us good luck in their future endeavors. We had a good time with them. Thank you so much.
Sokala Duma Radio.
Hey, Sokala Duma listeners. The Sokala Duma social media app has finally launched. Head to Google Play or Apple App Store. Search Sokala Duma and download it now. You can earn airtime, data, and a whole lot more for simply taking selfies and sharing them. I'm happy to be joined on the line by former AmaZulu coach Kevin Johnson. Welcome to Sokala Duma Radio.
Thank you very much for having me on your show.
Many seem to have forgotten how tight the relegation battle last season was and that you helped AmaZulu avoid relegation last season with a bit of breathing room, 4 points above the drop zone. What got you across the line last season and helped you finish the league season so strong?
Yeah, look, I think the reality, it was determination from the technical team, determination from the players. You're after fighting the 7 games or 6 games. You get deducted 6 points and you find yourself at 1 point. And those are the difficult challenges that you got to face as a coach, as the head coach of AmaZulu. And at the same time, you got to lead a bunch of players that are really, really not have a lot of experience within the PSL. So it was a major mountain to climb, but we succeeded. And we were grateful for that because, once the season was over and we've done all the stats and you look at what we accomplished, the end of the season was not that good. But when you look at the bigger teams than us across the world, Juventus, for example, like Bournemouth in England, deduction of 1 point, deduction of 3 points, and they were relegated. So the tap on the shoulder for us was, that was going to be the first team in the world to deduct 6 points and we still survive. So credit to everybody that was involved with the team. And that's how it panned out.
I must say you worked a miracle despite being docked those 6 points. And I just wonder, how can the AmaZulu bosses forget that so quickly? And what does it say about PSL club owners in general?
So you know what? If I had to comment on that, then it would be a major, major comment. But in saying that, I think, a lot of people, a lot of people out there always look at stats. As it's that to do and die all. So you gotta look at it. Sometimes it's good for you, sometimes it's really, really bad for you. But looking at the position we were in, I thought we did really, really well. And the situation that we found ourselves in, I thought we did very well. Although, like I said initially, the last end of the tail end of the season was not that great for us.
Definitely. And you're now one of three PSL coaches to be fired within the last 48 hours in the league, which is quite rare. Do you think that the PSL teams need to improve their interview process? What does it say about long-term plans? Because I'm sure that you had a mandate. Do you think that they should allow PSL coaches more time with their teams?
Look, the problem at the moment is, for me, it's a merry-go-round. You know what I'm saying? And at the same time, it's about understanding the different clubs, understanding the different tools they have at their disposal, and what do we always think of the personnel they have within their club as to how they think they can perform? Because when you look at it all across the world, Pep Guardiola did not start off on a high at Manchester City. Jurgen Klopp didn't start on a high at Liverpool. Neither did Pochettino. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And all clubs go through that. But at the same time, what tools are you giving to the so-called technicians that you employ to accomplish whatever you're looking at? And when you look at the smaller teams within the, example, the Spanish league and the Italian league and the English league, the smaller teams are the a major, major, major infrastructure in order for them to be where they are.
I have to agree there. And in the offseason, you added former Wits striker Majoro, New Zealand international Andre De Jong, but the club sold arguably your X-factor last season, Emiliano Tade, and he's not really been replaced despite De Jong's early promise. What effect did that have, Tade's departure, on your plans and on the team?
Look, like I said, towards the end of the season, we didn't have a great season. We didn't finish off well. But then already the effects of leaving Indiana was evident. But we sold it on. And this year, yeah, we bring in Andre De Jong. He's a very, very good player, I have no doubt. Because I personally watched him and took him to play the game, I think that. Different characters, different mentalities from different countries. And that played a huge role in Andre not taking the ground as we'd like him to have done. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
And hopefully he's able to get his feet sooner than later. And he's been given the opportunity now. So hopefully he'll get his feet going and he'll score the goals, because I don't have a problem with him.
Yes,
but when we look at Majoro, yeah, he comes along with a load of experience. Good player, nice player. All that he has to do is stay away from injury and hope that he gets onto the pitch as many times as possible, because I think Majoro is the type of person that needs to be on the pitch all the time. So he needs to stay away from injury. He's a good kid. I mean, not a good kid, he's a good player. And he's able to bring something to the team. But like I said, I hope for him that he's able to stay on the pitch longer than he's been on the pitch for me now.
And you mentioned the new coach taking over your project. What effect does that have on the team and the players, having a new vision brought to the team so early in the season? Do you think that he'll continue your vision or bring a completely new perspective?
No comment, my friend. I think each coach comes with his own idea, and it's for the club to identify to him that this is where we're going. And if you'd like to follow that, then so be it. But I have no comment on any coach.
I understand. You are an advocate of a possession-based passing game, which is the world trend right now with the high press. Yet PSL football seems to still be behind with a non-possession-based game, the ball being turned over a lot, long ball, hit and hope, no real build-up play. What are your thoughts on how we can change that in the league?
Look, again, it's up to the owners of the club. It's up to the owners to say, you know what, I'd like to play a chess game instead of a table tennis game. And at the same time, we also need to see at the officiating of the game how we get it to another level. If a lot of kicks and back tackles and those things are allowed, then the possession game goes out the window. So, and of course, we need to teach the players as well how to protect the ball better, how to move the ball around better. And those are all little factors that affect the game. But, yeah, I think there's a few teams in the PSL that's doing that at an alarming rate, at the very, very, very high intensity rate. And sometimes we need to expose the technical quality that we have in South Africa, because I do believe that some of our players are world-class. They have the technical quality, they have the technical acumen. They need to get a little bit tactically more aware. But like I said, one part of the improvement is probably the officiating of the game, to allow a better game of football. You got to protect the players a little bit more.
So recently, we've seen younger coaches coming into positions of leadership. We see Coach Rulani taking over Pirates. They haven't replaced him yet, and he's starting to find his feet there. We see Coach Benny at Cape Town City. Great season last season, struggling this season a little bit, but you know, still early days. Do you think that PSL teams should trust younger, less experienced coaches, or do you think that type of experience should be gained working with youth teams and being assistant coaches?
Look, it depends on where you are, what you've done, and in respect to both Benny and Rulani. Rulani has cut his teeth in a lot of youth programs, and then he cut his teeth by standing next to Peter Mosimane, and you probably get the experience. Whether he's in the right shoes at the moment, yeah, we can only tell by time. Benny McCarthy is, I mean, you cannot doubt Benny's team at the moment. I think it's probably one of the best playing football teams in the country. And B-Mill done that at probably the highest level in football as a South African, the only one to be a champion, championship. So Benny got that. And me knowing Benny personally, his character will carry him to be a better coach.
You know, now that you've left the team and you might have a new perspective looking back, you know, the short amount of time you were given, how much blame do you think should be attributed to the players or perhaps the organization itself, considering that there's only so much you as a coach can do?
Blame game, I don't think it's needed in football. We work as a team. I had the team. As far as the technical team, the players, I had that. So being a blame game is completely out of my vocabulary. And then I take the blame for everything. But at the same time, you look back and you say, well, administratively, what can be done? Yes, there's probably a lot that we can adhere to as to how we go better. And you alluded that to an earlier question where you said, what can the clubs do, and like I told you, the bottom clubs at in England, the bottom clubs in Italy, the bottom clubs in Spain, they all have a good infrastructure. They all have the proper tools at their disposal to be able to create and develop a good brand of football.
So a lot of the time we hear things like players finding out on social media about a transfer or not having a formal departure. And this week, there seemed to be a lot of confusion in the news in terms of whether or not coaches were leaving. Was this the case with you? I'd just like to ask how you found out about your dismissal.
Look, today's life, today's world, news spread like wildfire. You cannot, in my last, I don't know when social media started, in my last 10 years, in a meeting, sit with five people and say, guys, this is confidential. You should might as well take the confidential word and throw it out the window, because it never is confidential. And those are the things that had happened with social media. While you're having the meeting, someone is allowed to be on their phone, and while they're on their phone, they are actually SMSing or Twittering or Instagramming the current meeting that's in there. So the confidentiality should actually be thrown out the window as far as this era of communication is concerned, because it's completely not used anymore. It's completely not spoken about anymore. And yeah, in my instances, there's been a lot of things that I ask myself. Did it come through Twitter first? Did it come through the email first? Was there any personal touch with it first? All of those things, I have to say, they're all involved. So for me, it's not about blaming those who came on Facebook and I didn't know about it, or the SMS me, I didn't know about it. No, they were all involved. Everything was involved.
I see. Kevin, I know that it must be a difficult time for you, so thank you so much for taking the time out of your day and joining me on the show.
Thank you, Sue. I hope I've informed your listeners in the correct manner, and I hope that we're able to talk to each other very soon again.
That's all for the big interview today. What a fascinating week it's been. We'll be seeing a lot of reshuffling at three of the PSL's struggling teams, and perhaps we'll see improvements in their form. The truth is, only time will tell. On Friday, we'll bring you the weekend special. In the meantime, though, pick up your Sokola Duma newspaper for just 4 rand. Catch the latest speculation about Bradley Grobler and where he could be playing his football next in the CS special. And also read a great interview with Jeremy Brockie discussing his loan move to Maritzburg United. From myself, your host, Slu Paho, and my editor, Simon Strella, have a great day.
Sokola Duma Radio.
Sokola Duma Radio.